Fresh Takes.
Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here on the Don't Evolve Me podcast, where we're reviewing Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
With Brandon Klein.
Hello. Hello.
So we already did like our whole news quickie stuff like this. This is a different episode, so we're just going to call this Fresh Takes and get into the good stuff. So you guys, the viewers, don't have to... If you're just here for the Deadpool Wolverine review, awesome. You don't have to worry about the other news. You can just get skip your right Deadpool Wolverine. Or if this is the bad stuff you want to skip, you just check out the other episode. But yeah, let's talk Deadpool and Wolverine after everything else that just got announced. My brain is about to explode. So, Deadpool and Wolverine. So we already did our Deadpool review for the State of Review. And we both, I think, what was it? Four minus fours for Deadpool and Deadpool 2?
I think so. I think that sounds about right.
And I think we both agree that both of them were smaller scale stories that were very Deadpool-ish. And this story was a lot grander.
Yeah.
But yet,
no. Still small. Yeah.
Still small. But I remember what Kevin Feige said. He's like, it's not Infinity War. It's not Endgame. But it's like a scale below that. Do you think that still holds up?
I mean, in a sense of like the amount of characters and stuff like that, I would agree. But I don't think like even though the stakes were artificially as high as, you know, those movies, I don't think that the stakes felt as high. There was never a point where you were actually like worried, or I mean, nobody got dusted.
I wasn't worried that if their universe got like, because that was the big plot of this movie, right? Deadpool, he's 6 years after, he's living his life. He put away Deadpool, and he's basically told, like, hey, welcome to the MCU. Our bosses want to talk to you. However, your universe is getting dusted because your anchor bean died. And Deadpool, his whole goal was to fix this timeline, is to save his timeline. And he did. But I think most of us, if not all of us, kind of wanted his timeline to be dusted.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it does end with him still not being in the MCU.
Yeah. I mean, he has the way to get there, if I remember correctly.
Does he have I don't know. Does he have the ring still? Just who ended up with the ring? Yeah.
I actually have questions about the ring itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ring. So, yeah. It was just like this like story that's like, you know what? If they fail here, I don't mind because he's in the MCU. But if he doesn't, it's like, cool. I guess they're fine. They're safe. Kind of.
We'll get
into that. I didn't put in the detail. I didn't do this like I did The Boys, where I took the storyline and broke it down, because I don't know where to even begin with this movie. So let's just start from the beginning, right? In 2018, Wade Wilson uses Cable's time traveling device to travel from his timeline, Earth 10,005, to Earth 16, the sacred timeline, where he meets Happy Hogan. 616. Yep. Wow, this is actually in different order than I'm reading from. Where he meets Happy Hogan and requests to join the Avengers, and he's rejected. This is actually a fun scene. I enjoyed this.
Yeah. Getting the interaction between Jon Favreau. And it kind of fitting for him to be in this movie too, since he was part of the Fox. The Fox Marvel Universe.
I just love it. Is the big head, the head honcho, is he going to come down? And he's like, no, I am the head honcho. What do you mean? This is the best you're going to get. And I'm like, man, this is he's just speaking to fans right now. It's me, baby. I am the MCU representative here. It's cool. Cool. In the middle of the movie, though, the first thing we really see is him in the woods talking about Logan.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, doesn't this take away from the death of Wolverine and Logan. Does this ruin his ending? And immediately they just, he's like, yep, we're going to do worse.
Dig up his dead body. Yeah.
And then uses his adamantium skeleton to mercilessly kill all the TVA agents after him in very cool fashion, and to Backstreet Boys.
Yep. Yep.
What was your thoughts on that?
I mean, it was quite the opening scene. That's for sure.
I keep seeing people dancing. Like, I keep seeing like other Deadpool like cosplayers try to dance.
Hmm.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I was just like bopping. I'm like, cool.
Mm. It was good. I mean, definitely like the best action in this movie out of all the Deadpool movies. That is one thing that they definitely went above and beyond with.
They did. And I know they did CGI blood, and I know some people were complaining about the CGI blood, and like, it looked cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it was well,
it doesn't bother me near as much.
Yeah. And I didn't even notice it was CGI, to be honest. Yeah. I feel like if I would have paid attention to it, I probably could have like put that together. But to me, I fell into that world of, you know, when you fall into the world and you don't really think about how they made it, you just
watch and enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I was. It didn't take me out of it. And as long as as long as it doesn't take me out of the story, I don't complain about it.
Right. I would agree.
Back 6 years later, Wade is retired. He is from being a masked mercenary known as Deadpool and is working as a used car salesman after breaking up with his girlfriend. With his girlfriend, Vanessa. Did he break up with Vanessa? I thought she broke up with him.
I think he kind of forced her to break up with him. Mm. I think that was kind of what was implied, was that he didn't really like give her a choice kind of thing.
Kept pushing how do you feel about the Vanessa character? I don't care about her character.
I mean,
three movies through.
Yeah. I don't have like a big, like connection or anything like that to her character. I mean, it does, like, the idea behind it is fitting, like, you know, just because he goes back in time and saves her from dying or whatever, but that doesn't just like fix all of their problems or like fix him or anything like that. So it does kind of make sense that they would still.
Yeah.
Long effects after that, but.
I just didn't buy the motivation. Like, I'm a save. I love her. I'm a saver. I'm like, I don't buy it the third movie through, you know, like you can't break up with somebody so many times. Like, essentially this is the same movie. Save Vanessa, save Vanessa, save Vanessa.
In that sense. Yeah.
I guess that's like one of my only few like cons of the series is I just don't buy it. So, during his birthday party, the Thai Variance Authority shows up, capture Waves, and brings him to Mr. Paradox, who offers him a place on Earth 616. However, Paradox, who's played by Matthew McFadden and did so wonderfully, also reveals that Waves' timeline is deteriorating as a result of Logan's death and revealed
Logan's death 5 years in the future.
Yes. And has revealed that he is an anchor being. So Wade steals the Paradox 10 pad and then travels the multiverse to find Variant Logan to save his timeline. And that's where we get into the main story.
Yes.
I enjoyed that scene originally from the TVA. Because I can't talk about his brand new suit.
And she's being like, so excited, yeah. Adamantium swords.
Adamantium swords, yep. Bringing that back. Mr. Paradox, the idea of like, yep, we really want him showing Cap too, and just be like, oh, it's Captain America, oh, Thor, I'm being saved by Thor.
But that's got to pay off in Secret Wars, right?
I was hoping it'd pay off in this film.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense if it pays off in Secret Wars, though. Like, so you saw way into the future.
Do you think it actually pays off in Secret Wars?
I think it will. I think we'll see that scene in Secret Wars.
I hope so. My downside is like, I don't know. I feel like there's so many storylines that they are just forgetting about. Everything's just such a fray right now that I don't actually know if they're going to honor this, but I hope they do. It's also the big question, is Deadpool even going to be part of these movies? You would assume so. You would hope so.
I think he's got to be in Secret Wars. He's got such a big role in the comics in Secret Wars. Like, I mean, he had his own comic series about him being in Secret Wars.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I think he's got to, like, that's going to be the big Deadpool thing.
What if it, like, he didn't even get saved by Thor? It's just Thor, like, catching him in the moment, or, like, he, like, does a trust fall on Thor. He's just like, oh, you're so handsome or something.
Yeah.
And that's the moment. Like, that's the moment from the film.
Yeah, I could see it not being like a fake out as far as not being like a big dramatic scene, actually just being like played for laughs. But I think it will pay off. I think it's got to pay off one way or another.
What was your thoughts on Matthew McFadden's Mr. Paradox?
I mean, I thought he fit the role of a, you know, douchebag power grabber just fine.
Wow, we're talking about Mr. Paradox, not his character on Succession.
Same. I haven't seen that show.
You should. He plays the role as Tom. He is the husband of one of the kids of the giant corporation that is essentially just Fox. And like his character's role at the end is just kind of great for that character, but also kind of, it's just very fitting. But you just, like, to a T, you just, like, talked about his character. But yes, Mr. Paradox. I was not expecting his British voice to be out. So as soon as he started talking, I was like, what? That's his voice? Is this his accent? Because, man, he has a very British accent. He's great. And, like, he's better in this version than American.
I remember the first time I heard House, or what's his name? Hugh Laurie. Because I've watched him in House all the time. And then I realized that he was actually British and has a hardcore British accent and stuff. And it's like, oh, never would have guessed that.
Or Anthony Starr from The Boys. I just watched one of his interviews, and he's just, I think, is he Australian?
I think he's from New Zealand.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was using his New Zealand accent. And I was like, oh, wow. He's very different from Homelander. But he like has like his remarks that remind me of him.
Mm-hmm.
Does it work? Should we keep going through the story, or should we just get into the good stuff?
What do you think?
I kind of just want to talk the good stuff, but I don't want to forget anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just try to like. I'll just paraphrase a little bit.
Yeah, I do feel like the actual like story of this movie is probably the weakest part.
Hmm.
I mean,
I would agree.
Ultimately, like, it's kind of all random. I mean, like, even the main villain just kind of appears out of nowhere, and it's just like, oh, now I'm gonna destroy everything. I could have done this at any time, but I'm gonna do it right now.
Not out of nowhere, out of the void.
I mean, location. You're right.
Correct,
you're
right. Here. Come on now.
Not the giant celestial head.
Well, let's talk about the Logan variants, because that was a whole thing where he's trying to find the Logan variant to replace his Logan, thinking that's gonna work. What was your favorite like Logan's? I actually did I did a top five for this.
What was it? Was there more than five?
There was like seven or eight.
Okay, I mean, the obvious one has got to be Henry Cavill, Cavalrine, right?
Yeah, Cavalrine.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not number one.
That's not number one.
No. Should I do my list? Should we just do my list?
Sure, all right. Let's hear your list.
Best Wolverine cameo. Number five. Old Man Logan white suit.
I don't know if that was supposed to be Old Man Logan.
I don't know if it was. I saw it in an article. They called it Old Man Logan. White suit Logan.
I feel like,
I've seen him. I've seen many versions of White Suit Logan in the comics. I've seen him in Old Man Logan, but I've also seen him in other like versions.
Mm.
Like there is a Krakoa one. I think I forget the actual. Every year they do a party, and I believe he was dressed up as like a white man or White Suit Logan. But yeah, he was number five. Number three, Weapon X.
Yeah,
I think one of the first ones where he just gets massacred immediately, which I think is just great.
That was good.
Did I say number three? I meant number four last time.
Yeah.
Number three. The brown and yellow suit.
Yeah. I wish we would have got a little bit more of that.
Mostly because I just like the reflection in the claws, and there's Hulk. That was a great moment.
Just gets destroyed again.
Yeah. Number two, Cavalrine. I didn't even recognize Henry Cavill at first. It wasn't until he did like the,
he did his patented arm cocking too, like from the Mission Impossible movie before he, I don't know. I can't do it. I don't even know how he does
it's set. Like, it's so I remember the fist pump, iconic. But he does the Witcher grunts when he does it. Mm. And I think he did that on purpose. Cause like, that's like what he's like most famous for. It's like,
he also had a cigar in his mouth. Finally got a smoking character in a Disney movie. Said they would never do it.
And they did it.
Yeah.
Nice. Cavalrine. And number one.
Is it the comic book accurate Wolverine?
Yes, it is. The Short King himself.
Oh, God.
I'm just happy they CGI'd Hugh Jackman in a 5'3" body just to see how ridiculous that is.
I think they might have, he might have been a little shorter than 5'3".
I think so.
Yeah. He's a little closer to like 4 feet.
He's halfling Wolverine.
It's like, comic book accurate Wolverine.
I do like that he called him Short King.
Yeah.
It's just very on him. So yeah, that's my Wolverine cameos. My top five Wolverine cameos. We can also do top five Deadpool core. Two. I'm going to leave off one. So I'm not going to count this one. We'll talk about it later. I don't know if I had a top five. I just had like the top. Like, I don't know if I have it in order, but I did list five that I really, really liked. One, Headpool.
Yep.
Lady Pool.
From the zombie universe, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Lady Pool.
Even though she didn't really. I feel like she could have been used a little bit more, but I get that it was just kind of a cameo.
Baby Pool.
Yes.
Dance Pool. And it might be number one, Nice Pool.
He can gently tap the fourth wall.
Hello.
The proposal.
I just enjoyed it. Because I feel like that's like Ryan Reynolds in real life. I feel like he is just Nice Pool.
Yeah.
Like he comes across as Nice Pool. Or did you... aka Van Milder.
Yeah, Van Milder. Yeah, that's good. Did you see that Cowboy Deadpool?
Oh, yep.
The old West Cowboy Deadpool. He was voiced by Matthew McConaughey.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, that flew out of the radar. And Deadpool was voiced by Nathan Fillion.
We're going to have to rewatch it.
Yeah. I didn't catch either of that in the first time. But
for those wondering why we don't have our cameos in order, there is a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like a lot.
It's a movie of cameos.
It is literally a movie of cameos rather than a movie of much substance. There's some substance.
Yeah.
Oh, Weapon Omega. Oh, he's called Patch.
Yep. Because they also showed another older version of Logan, who's like more of like a Wild West, kind of like a gunslinger type, and he's got a shotgun.
Yep.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. There's so many.
Mm.
So yeah, that is my top five Deadpool corpse. But yeah,
core members.
Corpse. I was trying to say corpse, but yeah, I keep saying corpse. All right, should we talk about the meat and potatoes of this? And that is the cameos.
Yes.
Top five cameos, and we'll talk about it.
Okay. These are spoilers.
Number five. Oh yeah, this is
all of this. Fresh is, by the way,
all of this is spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'll do like a preview beforehand. Like, yeah, just this is spoilers. Warning.
Yeah, spoiler review.
We are talking about everything Deadpool Wolverine. Best cameo, top five, coming your way. Number five, Jennifer Garner, Elektra.
Yep.
I feel like I can't really say much about her character. Like, she was there. That's like the downside of a lot of these cameos. They were just mostly character or cameos rather than characters.
Yeah, they don't have big roles to play, aside from a couple of them.
Number four, Blade. Wesley Snipes.
Number four.
Interesting.
Yeah, I ought to put him a little lower on the list.
You put him lower?
No, well, like higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was one that, like, I feel like we joked about being in it, but then never thought it would be an actual possibility. I completely even forgot that Ryan Reynolds was in Blade.
Yeah, he was, I forget his actual name, but yeah.
Yeah, and he plays basically Deadpool in that movie, too.
Basically.
Yeah.
A fast-talking character with swords.
Swords, yep.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds for the longest time just played Ryan Reynolds. Let's be real.
Yeah, I think that is like one of the things I feel like that have changed between this movie and the time the first two Deadpool movies came out. Because he was always like, I mean, he was always a star, obviously, and known for being funny and stuff. But like, I feel like Deadpool 1 and 2 really like cemented his form of comedy and like his like style, like really kind of crossed that line. And then everything he's been in since then has basically just been like him as Deadpool in different roles.
That's how it feels. I don't disagree with you. I just don't think it was Deadpool that cemented it. I think he was cemented once he was Van Wilder.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone took him that far though. Like,
well,
like I think
Deadpool he was a rising screen. He was a rising star, right? Yeah. At some point, I think even before he played Deadpool and X-Men Wolverines, I think he was a star. I would argue. Like, I think I agree that Deadpool cemented him even further. I just think he was already a cemented star.
I mean, for what, like, The Proposal and Van Wilder? I don't think they quite have the same level as Deadpool.
No, but I mean,
now he's like the biggest star in the world, basically.
Well, yeah, right now he is. This movie just dropped, man.
Yeah, well, even before this, I mean, look at all the stuff that he's been in.
No. Ooh, you just like stumble on a really cool question. Bigger Marvel star as of right now, Ryan Reynolds or Robert Downey Jr.?
I mean, it's got to be Ryan Reynolds. RDJ has just been out for so long.
I know, but like, he's back, baby. He's Marvel Jesus.
Yeah.
He just took his role.
Once we see him in a movie again, I think. But until then, I don't know.
It's a valid question. Yeah. I don't necessarily just... I might say Ryan Reynolds because of the fact that he was in a movie, but like, I will say it's kind of funny that it's like, hey, Deadpool Wolverine for 3 days, and it's like, nope, Robert Downey Jr. Doom.
Yeah,
but I mean, Marvel's probably at their biggest hype since Endgame as of right now.
Oh yeah, I mean that's definitely true.
All right, so yeah, number four was Blade. Number three, and I'm not including villains here.
Okay.
X-23.
Number three.
It was cool to see her character.
Yeah, I think, I feel like arguably like the most important one of the cameos.
I feel like she was the one that motivated Wolverine.
Yeah, once again, kind of gave him that kick in the ass that he needed.
He did.
She did.
Yeah, but I also... None of these people are characters. They're all cameos. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll get into that talk. We're doing fun right now.
Mm.
Number four. Gambit. Channing Tatum.
Yeah, that was one I definitely did not expect to see.
I feel like I should have expected it, but I did not expect it, and I'm happy to see it. I'm happy that you finally get to play Gambit.
Yeah, even though I'm kind of glad that he never did. At the same time, like I can only imagine how terrible that movie would have been.
I just laugh at the fact that Ryan Reynolds or Wade Wilson was just making fun of his accent the entire time. Like, oh, you gotta work on your dialect coach, or help you work on that, because you sound awful. And it's like, you know, if this was a serious film, like it would have probably just been like ripped apart critically.
Yeah, if he would have been talking like that for a whole movie and he like couldn't even understand what he was saying. Yeah.
But that is also Gambit for you. You really like, he has a fairly strong accent. You could barely understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Maybe just a Gambit solo thing just never would have worked to begin with.
I think it could work. Gambit's huge, man. Gambit's like a great character that could work with.
He was he was one of my favorite X-Men when I was younger. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
He's just I feel like he should be everybody's top three, if not top five, right?
Of X-Men?
X-Men?
Yeah. I think Gambit's everyone's top three.
If not top five, yeah.
Maybe.
From the 90s?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even make it into the movies, though. Well, I know, but
you put on an old X-Men video game, who are you playing as? Because if you're not playing it as Gambit, who are you?
Deadpool.
There's only one other character I would say is like arguably cooler than Gambit. Outside of Wolverine. Nightcrawler.
Yeah. I always like Nightcrawler.
I think
I was always a big fan of Iceman too, though.
Iceman's pretty cool. I'm just saying
he's an Omega level mutant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gambit eventually becomes an Omega level mutant.
Gambit's cooler anyway. You don't have to be an Omega level mutant to be as cool as Gambit. I mean, he makes throwing cards look cool. All right, moving on. Number one. You know what this is. You know who it is. It's Chris Evans' Human Torch. Like, oh my God. He was great. He was the best cameo by far. And I love the extra credit scene with him in it.
Yeah.
Let's review the tape.
He actually did say all of that stuff word for word. Yeah. That was good.
It was just a great reveal. Great surprise. We saw him as Cap, and then he comes back and he's the Human Torch.
The whole setup with it and everything, like they showed like the blue on his arms, kind of the parts of the suit where you couldn't really see what he was wearing, and even
he had red too.
Yep, and even the like Captain America theme like started playing almost as he was setting up, and then it swapped as he yells, flame on.
Yeah. Yes, the moment. Avengers. Oh, what? Yeah. Just the confusion. But yeah, that's my cameo top five. It has to be Human Torch.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that.
I also have him as biggest surprise.
I think Blade might have been a bigger surprise for me.
You think so?
Yeah, I really didn't expect to see
Blade. I heard about the Blade one. Yeah, I didn't hear about Gambit. I did hear about Human Torch like the week beforehand, but I heard about Blade earlier.
I was dodging spoilers as much as I could for the last few weeks.
I didn't dig. I wasn't dodging, but I didn't dig, I guess. All right. Brandon Klein.
Yes.
How'd you feel about Cassandra Nova as a villain? Omega level mutant, so she has to be cool.
I mean, she was cool. And I thought like the showcases of her power and stuff was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also I thought that was Emma something.
Or, I forget who. Ooh, I have it up already. You keep going. I'll look it up.
I think that she did a really good job playing like an intimidating kind of crazy person and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole actual like setup of her as a villain. And it felt kind of forced. I don't know. I guess the connection to Xavier kind of made it interesting with Wolverine, but at the same time, it felt kind of inconsequential.
It was Emma Corrin, by the way, who played her. Nope. And I thought she played Cassandra Nova really, really well. I thought she was interesting, psychotic, crazy. I thought her powers were cool. She wasn't really a villain. It's kind of like Deadpool 2 in the way where there really isn't a villain. Because if you name the villain, it's probably Paradox, Mr. Paradox.
I mean, yeah, he's like the main antagonist. If it wasn't for him, then none of this would have happened to begin with.
Yep.
Quite literally.
It's technically Cassandra Nova, but at the same time, like it isn't. Like it is and it isn't her. Like she is like the villain.
Yeah, more of like a force than like a villain. Like it was
more
like
an obstacle. To get around. And that's like the tough part too, because like she was just crazy. She just wanted power. You understood kind of why she wanted power, because like no one else really wanted her. She was not really a part of any other universe, and that she felt like she belonged. She could be her crazy self in the void, which makes sense. But yeah, I guess like from a personal side point, like Deadpool versus her, they had some funny like trade-offs. There's cool, funny things about the powers, but from a that connection piece, like she's more just an obstacle for Deadpool. Mm. It's hard to call, like, she was a villain, but it's hard to call her an antagonist.
Mm.
So I thought she was fine. You know, if I had to rank like which of the three antagonists, I don't. Ajax might be first, and I don't even think he's that great of a villain.
Yeah. Maybe. I probably think it's you're right.
You know, like in terms of like Deadpool villain, I'm like, I like Juggernaut more. I like Cassandra Nova more. I thought she was more interesting, but Ajax was more personal to Deadpool.
Hmm.
Cassandra There's Nova actually... was just kind of there.
Yep. Yeah, they didn't need to like beat her. I mean, they didn't even like, in order to escape from the void, they don't even like beat her. They just like make a deal with her and she's like, oh yeah, you guys can go. And then just decides, you know what? Actually, I'm going to destroy everything.
Yeah.
Kind of on a dime. Basically. On a whim.
Right. And like, yeah, she's a bad guy. It makes sense, but okay.
Yeah.
What'd you think about her team?
I mean, it was mostly X-Men, it seemed like. Or X-Men villains.
Did you catch all the cameo villains that were there? Because there was a lot of them.
Yeah, I noticed Lady Deathstrike. Yep.
Got
it. The Russian from
Punisher. I forgot to put him down.
I saw online that there's a person that looked quite a bit like Bullseye. He obviously wasn't Colin Farrell. Yeah, and he was throwing blades and stuff. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense, yeah, that there would be kind of somebody from each of their places, even though it didn't seem like Blade didn't have any representation. There was no vampires out there.
I feel like there's probably a vampire somewhere.
Maybe hiding in the dark because they can't be in the sun.
We might have to, like, when this movie comes out, we might just have to watch together and just, like, go through all the Easter eggs. Psylocke was there, obviously. Oh, Sabretooth, because there was the biggest fight in decades, apparently, because that was the fight. Pyro was probably the biggest character.
Oh yeah.
I would say the Juggernaut for the third iteration of Juggernaut.
Yeah. They should
have. It was not Vinny Jones.
Yeah, that's his name. I wish they would have got Vinny Jones. I love Vinny Jones. Even though he was a terrible Juggernaut, it would have been better. He would have said his iconic line.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Yeah. It'd be funny to say, like, oh, slow it down there. All right. You are the like, I've met the Juggernaut. You're not the Juggernaut, but yes, no, I guess you are. Yeah. You're
a Juggernaut.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
like I wish they would have played off that, but they did say like you're the third iteration of Juggernaut.
Azazel.
I'm gonna say this. Azazel. I was gonna say Azel. Toad was in there, and yeah, I said Psylocke already.
A lot of X-Men villains.
I feel like the best one out of there was Pyro, just because he had actual like screen time. Otherwise, Juggernaut, just for the fact that the helmet was in the mix.
Yeah, I don't know. Toad was showcased more, I feel like, even though he didn't have any lines or anything like that. But the fact that they actually got Ray Park back to play him, I feel like they had to have a bit more scenes with him and stuff like that in it.
Yeah. I have a list of no cameos that I was disappointed by.
Okay.
And I have four. And I guess one technically doesn't count because he was there, but like it was old footage. But I'm going to count it anyway. So number one is Magneto.
Yep.
But they did mention, the famous line of, now Disney's,
too cheap. Yeah.
Now they're too cheap. They can't get Magneto.
Yeah,
I did like that line. Yeah. I wrote Morbius, and I keep thinking of Morbius.
From Morbius. It's Morbin time.
Morbin time. Nope, Mobius. Wow, Owen Wilson, as well as Loki. Because I'm like, you're in Loki territory.
Yeah,
you have a lot of Loki. You have Hunter B15, which is like their connection, which is great. I'm happy you have that. I'm happy you have TVA. But I'm like, can you at least mention Loki? Or they did mention Loki, but I'm like, can you at least like at least show an image or just mention something of like what happened with Loki season two? Like, oh, where's Loki? Oh, he's, you know, too busy being the Tree of Life. Like, that's it. Or maybe just like a moment of like Mobius coming in. He's just like, oh, wow, you got Deadpool. Good job, you know. Because in the comics, Mr. Paradox is also Mobius. Like, those are two characters that are the same character. So it'd be
okay.
He's a variant of that character. And I wish they would have like played off of that and we would have got Owen Wilson. Obviously, actors, you know, different things, contract, you know, scheduling disputes, whatever. But that's like one of the few that I'm like, I wish you would just a quick, brief, like, Loki Mobius. The other one is Cable.
Yeah, that was one that I thought could have definitely had an appearance. I mean, they mentioned him a few times, I feel like, but
yeah, just like a moment, just like they did with Colossus and the rest, just a moment. And the last one is Thor.
I mean, we actually did get some new footage of Thor. He wasn't just on the monitors.
Well, was he?
Well, he was just on the monitors, but it wasn't just like flashbacks from the movies.
Oh, it's dark. Like it's Dark World. Characters. It's literally just Dark World. Take Loki out and put Deadpool. It's the same footage.
That could be true.
It is. It's okay. The same footage. That's why I'm like, he technically was in the old footage and has played off his new footage. I'm like, does this count? But I, my biggest thing is I wish they would have paid off that cameo. I wish they would have paid off that reference of Thor just saving him in the moment, even if it's a variant Thor. Same with like Loki. Even if they had a variant Loki, like Alligator Loki or Kid Loki, I'd have been like
Frog Loki.
Frog Loki.
Yeah, Frog Thor. Yeah.
There you go. Just like a moment where like Thor saves him and then he goes, does whatever. I think it would have been a cool moment.
I agree.
So yeah, that's my no cameos. All right. We didn't talk a whole lot with Wolverine. Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
He reprised his role. He's in this movie. It is like a dream come true.
Yes.
Do you feel that way now? Did your dream come true?
I mean, as far as realistically, I feel like yes. I don't know. I mean, there's so much hype and stuff like that that I was thinking about that like the other, like after we left, I was like, what would I have? Like, what would the story have had to have been to be like as crazy as like we were hoping it would be? And I just don't even know what that would be. Like, I don't think it was ever like going to be that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. But
did you think the story was going to be crazier than it was or tamer?
I mean, I thought it would have more to do with the MCU, to be honest.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Well, but let's talk about this.
It really doesn't. I mean, the only character from the MCU is Happy.
Yep.
And he's technically part of the Fox universe, too.
Well, B-15 and, you know, Mr. Paradox.
Yeah, we never saw him before in any of the MCU stuff.
No, it barely counts. Let's talk about that. And honestly, maybe we should have just left off with that. This movie isn't really an entry party to the MCU.
No.
This movie is a love letter.
Yep. To the Fox universe.
To every Marvel project that isn't Spider-Man or MCU before it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked it for that reason.
Yeah.
Because one, they shit talk Fox the entire time. Like, ooh, you know, we're going to Disney now? Like, we got money now. Fuck Fox, we're good. I'm done. Like, love that joke, but like, they brought all the old Fox characters back, right? They brought all the old X-Men back, or the X-Men villains. They brought back Blade. They brought back Elektra. They brought back Human Torch, Chris Evans, which is like probably the biggest grab that they got. They brought back Gambit, who should have been. Like, I feel like every corner of like the old Marvel films got covered, right? Daredevil via Elektra, Blade via Blade. You got Gambit via the non-stories you didn't get. Human Torch via Fantastic Four. And then obviously we got our X-23 Logan, which I guess technically is a part of their own universe. So it's really just cool to get like those cameos. And so get like that love letter.
So real quick. So this is saying that Deadpool 1 and 2 is part of the same universe as all of the X-Men movies, right?
Logan.
But isn't that the same Wolverine from Wolverine and X-Men Origins Wolverine and therefore all of the X-Men movies?
No. So this is the other problem about this film is you don't think about it. Does it work? No. If you think about it, none of this works. Like, why? Like, Logan and Deadpool are the two universes that are together, but it doesn't make sense for those to be together because Logan's in the future, like you said, five years in the future. And, like, the world that Logan represents is far different than the world that Deadpool represents.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it makes no sense. And it's not supposed to. They didn't try. So Brandon, stop trying to make sense of it.
Well, I'm just I mean, stop. They're still retroactively changing things, though. I mean, yeah, I know. That's what they're doing.
But so, also, I mean, you gotta think of this too. This is Disney doing this, not Fox. I know this is Ryan Reynolds and team and co that's wrote this. I don't know. Like, the story doesn't make sense. This whole story doesn't make sense when you really think about it. Like, why did they want Deadpool and 616 in the first place? The fact that Loki wasn't mentioned at all, the TVA and their new role, they're letting things go wildly, and the fact that like they didn't actually save their universe. Their universe is technically dying.
No, they said that Wolverine fixed it. That they
did. Did he fix it?
Yeah, at the end they said that it stabilized. Their timeline.
Oh yeah, I read it here. B15 reveals that Wade and Logan's actions have stopped Wade's timeline from deteriorating.
Yeah.
Okay. That was cliche and fixed really quickly.
Yeah, well, I did see like a theory that I thought was kind of interesting, and that's that Loki is actually the one that like fixed it after seeing them, their like sacrifice, like trying to stop the time splitter that he actually is the one that replaces them.
He's really the only one who can really fix that too. Yeah. He's the one that holds all of them together.
Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I kind of like that idea.
I do too. That makes sense. Again, I'm also part of the team that's like, you can just zap that storyline out. You can get rid of that universe. Not that I'm trying to kill a universe full of people.
Wow. Genocidal maniac.
I have many things I could say here. I feel like three-fourths of them would get me canceled.
Yeah, let's move on.
Or get to be popular. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about the story? I'm trying to think if I missed anything big. So a lot of cool jokes. We cannot list all the jokes. What's like your favorite moment? Like when you think of this movie, what's the first like jokes or things you think of?
I really liked the scene in the minivan when him and Wolverine are fighting. I thought that was really cool.
Oh yeah.
All of their fights together against each other was pretty awesome. It was enjoible to watch.
That was probably
just the idea of like two people that can't die just murdering each other over and over again. There's something about that was enjoyable.
Exciting. You just Deadpool doing constant jokes, Logan being the tough, like, I'm going to kill, you know. And very classic Deadpool. You always have to have that other person that, like,
you know. You just got to have that, yeah, the straight man.
And that's Ben Logan. He is, like, the straight man here. did you hear the news that the one other superhero they really want to do is Spider-Man?
Interesting. That who really wants to do?
Specifically Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman both stated they want to go against Tom Holland's Spider-Man for the sole purpose they want to abuse him.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if they said that, like, I want to abuse him. They said we would abuse him so bad it would be hilarious. Not necessarily the greatest choice of words, but, like, I feel like that's what would happen.
I mean, we did get the little the scene of Deadpool flipping. Thwip, 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 thwip. Yeah, so I do think that, I mean, Deadpool and Spider-Man, that's like the other huge crossover that everyone wants.
That'd be hilarious. It's hilarious because, like, Spider-Man, like, he jabs back. Like, he's not the straight man. He also jabs back, but he does so in, like, a more friendlier way where Deadpool's all rated R. And I would love an actual version if it's PG-13 where, like, Spider-Man, like, literally, like, somehow makes it so you can't swear. It would be hilarious. Just like an Ultimate Spider-Man when he's just like, I'm going to unalive people. Yeah. I can't say the K word.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be great after Secret Wars. Like, when Deadpool is trying to find his way in the Marvel universe and falls in love with Spider-Man and becomes obsessed with him and just starts following him around everywhere.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Just like Ryan Reynolds fangirling over Tom Holland's Spider-Man would just be, like, fun. And, like, especially if, like, Wolverine the entire time was trying to get Deadpool to stop. And that's the Wolverine cameo appearance. And then we get our final villain, whoever it is. So let's talk about story. Let's talk about story, Deadpool, and then we'll get into ratings and then our MVPs. And just so you know, there's only one right answer for MVP.
Yeah.
Story versus Deadpool. I kind of rate this differently because I don't think the story here is that great.
Yeah.
And I think
it's very much like one of those crossover events in, like, the comics and stuff like that, where, like, the story isn't really the main draw of it. It's all of the people interacting together again.
For sure. I akin it to Deadpool, the comic book. And I, like, want to grab Deadpool comic book. I don't even think I have him on the wall. Nope, there he is. I got him.
You got all the comics today.
I can't grab them. I'm going to ruin the comic. It's actually Deadpool versus Evil Cap. It's that comic book.
Okay. So,
which is actually one of my favorite Deadpool runs, because that's, like, one of the runs where Deadpool actually has a story. He actually grows as a person. He becomes an Avenger. And then Captain America was like, hey, join Hydra. I think is hilarious. It's like, you finally earned your place in the Avengers. By the way, I'm evil. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra, yep.
So, one of the better runs. The problem with Deadpool, and this is the problem with every Deadpool comic, in my opinion, outside of the Greg Duncan, I believe, is the author. Besides that run, and obviously, I guess there's other runs that probably fall in this too, but I haven't read them. Deadpool is such a gimmick character, and I mean this in the best way possible. He's one of those characters, like, he's great. You read Deadpool because you want to have a good time. You read Deadpool because you're like, man, I just want to read some good, lighthearted fun. I want Deadpool to make jokes. I want him to be fourth wall. And that's what Deadpool is. But the thing that Deadpool never was he's not necessarily the greatest superhero to tell a story about. It's almost nearly impossible to tell a really good story because he's such a jokey, gimmicky character. He's great to have in cameos. He's great to have in crossover events. But as a full, his own story, he's really hard to write for. Because he can't be this character that grows, but also be the character that, you know, it's
Deadpool.
Yeah. It's Deadpool. And I feel like every single one of his movies fits that line of, it's a good Deadpool story. It's a great Deadpool story. It feels very Deadpool. His first one, I thought it was a little bit more simple. The second one was very contained. And I feel like Deadpool and Wolverine, is the crazy crossover cameo event led by Deadpool involving all the Fox characters. It's a love letter to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a finale for the Fox films of sorts. But at the end of the day, it's still a Deadpool story.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that story has a ceiling. Because overall, the story is meh.
Yep.
I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm arguing in circles.
No, I agree with what you're saying. I think you're right. He's not, the super serious character, so it's hard to have a really serious story. Yeah,
and I akin this to, No Way Home, the other multiverse. Whereas every cameo that came into that movie, they were a character.
Yep.
I feel like the biggest problem with this movie is there's only, four characters.
Yeah.
No one from X-Men or Deadpool's timeline was a character.
They had brief cameo in the beginning and a cameo at the end.
The other cameos, other than Human Torch, Elektra was there, Blade was there, X-23 had moments, but those moments were so cliched and so just very base dialogue that I'm pretty sure AI could have wrote it. And that has nothing to do with the actress or Wolverine or the character. I love both of them. But I remember just being in the theaters and just being like, wow, this was that's weak. The Wolverine that I know always says they're not the right guy. And it's meaningful, but those two didn't necessarily bond,
Yeah, I would agree.
She was there. She didn't interact that much. So, and that's kind of my biggest thing is I get that it's a Deadpool Wolverine movie. Those two had fun. And it was fun to watch, and really that's all it should have been. But even those two together didn't really, what was their arc?
Yeah. I mean, they started out hating each other, and I guess they ended hating each other a little less.
Yeah, they became friends, which is cool, but what did they learn? What did they do together? Deadpool's I'll be the mercenary again. It's okay, but that's not necessarily a new arc. Nor is it an interesting one. I'm not really a fan of I don't want to be a hero no more arc. It's kind of just
played out.
Yeah, that and you're doing the non-fun thing. Go do the fun thing. I don't care about your reasons for not doing the fun thing. Go fucking be a. I'm not here to watch Wade Wilson, the car salesman. I'm here to watch Deadpool.
Right.
So I don't know. That's where I'm at. I'm just story-wise, this isn't that good. And I'm having a. The other Deadpool movies, they had more characters. Even though they're just jokes.
Characters, yeah.
There are some, Russell. He was the bad guy. There was a legit arc with them. Cable, legit arc. Colossus, even he had a small arc. And it's just, this is where I'm this movie, and I see people defend it. This movie's just about the fans. It's about having fun. I get that, but the story itself isn't that great. And I think we need to cap this at it's a fun movie, but that's all it is. There's no depth.
Yeah.
And that's where Aiken it
consequences either.
And that's where Aiken it to No Way Home. All the villains there, they were all characters, right? Mm-hmm. They all expanded their arcs from the original movies and they ended it. They gave more adding. They gave more character traits. They gave more to the arcs for the original movies. It makes almost every other movie not better. I wouldn't say better. But it adds to them, right? It's an added piece. It's an added layer. I don't think this movie really adds anything. It's a love letter, but that's about it. It gives us. We wanted to see more of it, but we more or less just see it rather than experience it. So that's kind of my negative thoughts when I was exiting the theater. It was just ooh, this, it was fun, it was a spectacle, but it wasn't deep.
I don't think anybody expected Deadpool to be deep though.
No. And I agree, but there is a limit to how great this movie can be.
I think that's kind of what I was thinking about or talking about before, was that thinking about it after the movie, what could it possibly it, what could it have been? And I don't think it could have really been more than this.
I think it could have been better in characters, but then you get rid of cameos.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you could have like added more character moments, but how long a movie do you want this to be? If this was 3 hours, could do it. Mm. But then anyway, you take away the Deadpool funness of it too. So my rating for this is 3+. And my Deadpool rating is a 4.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the weakest overall out of the three. Even though it does have like more memorable than like the other two in some ways.
Yeah.
Just because of all the stuff that does happen and the characters and the interactions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I'd have a hard time giving it less than a 4- probably.
Yeah, and I was debating between 3+, 4-. I'm like, it's not a great film. Like in terms of like film itself. As a Deadpool film, if you rate it on a Deadpool metric, it might be a 5, honestly. On the metric of like, forget the story. How much fun did you have?
Hmm.
And I'm like, a 4+, at least for me.
I do think it is kind of what the MCU needed, though, right? It was something that was just like a fun, more lighthearted movie that you can just kind of enjoy watching and don't need to worry about a million different things.
Yeah. I mean, did you, it's a good question. Do you need to know all the Fox characters to enjoy this movie?
I think you enjoy it a lot more if you do.
Yeah. Because in some ways you can argue this is the movie you need to know a lot more about movies that weren't in the MCU.
Yeah.
You could argue even, that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you hadn't watched any of it, like let's say you never watched the MCU or the Fox universe, mm-hmm. this movie probably wouldn't make any sense, right?
No. Like, who's this guy? Who's this person? Who's this person?
Okay, and I'm trying to see this person. Yeah.
And they play it off like, yeah, we play it as like, you know, people who are knowing who these characters are. So, all right, you say 4-, I say 3+. I think that's about right. This movie doesn't save the Marvel, does it?
No, but I do think it is a step in the right direction. I mean,
yeah, I can see it as both.
Putting a lot of weight onto it. I mean, I don't think the Deadpool movie was ever going to be the thing that fixes the entire Marvel universe, mm-hmm. I guess, in that sense. Just because, like, how would it even go about doing that?
Yeah.
Like without interacting with everything else, especially since it is coming from his own separate universe, basically. It is felt very low impact on the actual Marvel universe. But the quality, I don't know, like the self recognition and stuff like that, I guess now it's just a matter of whether or not they put it into motion. Like all the jokes and stuff like that at their own expense, you know. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they actually follow through with it, or just
is Blade coming?
Oh, fun! Yeah, yeah.
That's my other question, because they like this movie outright was like, because Wesley Snipes, I'm the one and only Blade. He's like, we'll see. Probably. Yeah. I forget what Deadpool said, but very much looked in the camera and was like,
yeah,
like yep. Marvel Blade, is that happening?
They should just rehire Wesley Snipes to play him again.
I like Mahershala Ali though.
I do too, but I don't know if he even wants to do it anymore.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him though. It's
just
reshoot after reshoot. It has to be good, right?
Yeah. Right. We've spent more money on reshoots and stuff than on any other film, so you know it's going to be good.
All right, MVPs. I have 6 rated. I have 6 marked. Number 6 for me is Mr. Paradox.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you, well, I mean, I guess maybe considering the fact that there's only like 6 characters in the movie that are actual characters. Yeah.
Number 5 is Gambit. I just like seeing Channing Tatum and Gambit. Number 4 is Human Torch, and I think has a very arguable taste. I think he has an argument for MVP because he is one of the better parts in the movie.
Yeah.
Brandon, before I go in my top three, who is your MVP?
I mean, it's got to be Deadpool, right?
It's not Deadpool.
I mean, I think... It's not Deadpool. Well, you asked what my MVP was. You didn't say what the MVP was, so you can't tell me what it's not.
Semantics. All right, your MVP is Deadpool. That's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, he's not the MVP for this show, though.
All right,
there is only one right answer, and Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool Wade Wilson would agree. Oh, number three,
I know what
is Wolverine.
Say. Yep, yep.
Okay. Number two is Deadpool.
Deadpool, and number one is Dogpool.
It has to be Dogpool. I mean, I don't have him with me, but look at him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he literally won Ugliest Dog in 2023.
He is the most precious, beautiful dog. Like the best thing about this film.
He is the perfect
film.
Deadpool dog because he is so absolutely hideous, just like Deadpool.
It's Mary Poppins, y'all.
Mary, is
Wait,
it
what Poppins? Is his, what is his ex?
Poppins. I think that's Poppins. What he called it.
It's Mary Poppins, y'all. The fact that they didn't do that line. It's Mary Poppins, y'all. Dogpool. Yeah, I wrote this and I'm like, it has to be Deadpool. Who else would it be? And I looked through like the list of characters and I saw Dogpool. I'm like, no. It's Dogpool. I think everybody would agree it's Dogpool.
I know Ryan Reynolds put out a statement talking about how he's never made out with a dog more in his life than that dog. Just hours and hours on set, just making out with it, trying to get all those shots. Can you imagine? Yeah.
He wishes it was Wolverine.
Yeah,
Hugh Jackman wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, lame. Can you imagine?
So, I mean, I guess I could for hours and hours and hours. Just make that the film.
Yeah, there you go. Just ride
Deadpool Wolverine 2. Two men kissing
for hours.
People would watch it.
Oh yeah, I'd watch
it. They should put that in OnlyFans. they would pay for it. I would pay for it.
Something tells me they might not need the money right now.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our review. Thank you, Brandon. This is Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here for Deadpool and Wolverine featuring Brandon Baldwin and you are Klein. Rub his shiny head, Klein. And your host, Jake, doesn't have a middle name, Sherbing, because that's other people's responsibility.
Oh, don't look at me. I'm terrible at the
game. I'm not that great either. I went to Tom, and I was like, nerdier than you are. And he's like, it's the best one yet. I'm like,
I like that one. I like that one.
I do, too, but it's like not that great of a nickname in terms of like nickname, you know? Nerdier than you are. That's a cool middle name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And Tony's no longer the new guy.
Yeah.
So I don't even have a name for him. Either way, thank you, Brandon Bald Guy Klein.
Thank you.
I gotta drop that subject. I apologize. I don't know what the term for is it hair ableism? I don't know what the term is, but you look great.
You're gonna piss off all of the bald men in the whole world.
I mean, I might be bald myself one day. I don't know.
Yeah, careful what you say.
I mean, I don't have the genetics, but I do have the medicine that would do it.
Could be bald brothers.
Or I'll be gray. Either way, all right, we are done. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.